Father, I just I thank you just for the opportunity. You give opportunities, Father, when really seemingly there are none. You open up doors when they're shut. And I thank you, Father. And Father, may you speak powerfully through me today. May I speak boldly your truth today, Father. So that precious saints, Father, your little flock, Father, may know the truth, and that they know that they're free, and that in your word they be kept free in this world that is full of darkness. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So I'd love to start with the word of God. So we'll go to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 5. A lot of what I'm going to be, most of the scriptures are going to be coming out of the Amplified. So I've been kind of like in the Amplified a bit. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 5. And so it says, "For even though I am absent from you in body, nevertheless, I am with you in spirit, delighted to see your good discipline as you stand shoulder to shoulder and form a solid front, and to see the stability of your faith in Christ, your steadfast reliance on him, and your unwavering confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. Even though that we may not be present together physically, we are one spiritually, and that we stand shoulder to shoulder, and that we form a solid front in Christ, and that we are in his will, and that we know that we are one accord, and we know that we are reconciled, and we know that we are qualified in Jesus." So the Lord initially has, you know, led me down a path. And in the first sermons, you know, he's taken me on a journey. First sermons, you know, his main focus highlighted, you know, that, you know, the essence of his being is that he is one, that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are one. They are one accord, one will. He's led me down the path that even individually, you know, we were separated by sin, but yet now he has reconciled us back. We've been brought back together with him individually. And also, individually, collectively, we are now one. And that collectively we've been reconciled in one body with him. We are reconciled, we're qualified, and we've been given everything necessary in this life for a victorious life. So God is one. Individually, we are one with him. Collectively, we are one together with him. And that we have been given everything necessary for a victorious life. So I'd love to go to, we'll go 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 1 to 4. And I read this last week. I went through this last week, and the Lord's really pressed on me again to just go through this again. This particular scripture, and you know, I touched on it last week in regards to everything that we've been given in Christ, but the Father really wants his children to know what they have collectively, especially at this time now. There are times, you know, in history past, you know, even in the book of Acts, where the church was scattered. And like then, now, we're scattered. So we must know what we possess, what we have in Christ, what we have obtained, what he has given us, and what we must take by faith. So we'll go to chapter 2, Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. And it says, "And Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received and possess, by God's will, a precious faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, grace and peace, that special sense of spiritual well-being be multiplied to you in the true, intimate knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. For his divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness through true and personal knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has bestowed on us his precious and magnificent promises of inexpressible value, so that by them you may escape from the immoral freedom that is in the world because of disreputable desire and become sharers of the divine nature. That is amazing. It is only by faith that you can receive certain verses in this scripture, this word of God. You can't receive that in your mind. It can only be received in your spirit. Verse 3, it says, "For his divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness through true and personal knowledge of him." So the way that we obtain everything is through true and personal knowledge of him, who called us by his own glory and excellence. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, we don't have to go there, but it says that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. By faith, not by works. We have it. Peace, you have it. Love, you have it. Patience, you have it. Finances, you have it. Health, wholeness, you have it. Righteousness, you have it. Faith, the full measure, you have it. Joy, you have it. We have it all in Christ Jesus. And that's the deception. And there was a time in my life when I thought that I didn't have these things and I was deceived. And reading the word, when you read the word and you come to the full understanding and greater knowledge of who he is, then you start to understand that in him you have everything that you need in this life to be absolutely victorious every single day, every second of every single day that you walk on this earth, that you speak on this earth, that you are equipped to be absolutely victorious only but 100% of the time. If you're always sick, if you're depressed, if you're broke, if you feel unworthy, if you feel useless, if you have no joy, there's a problem if you're in Christ. There is no room for depression in the body of Christ. There is no room for uselessness in the body of Christ. Our Father is a multiplier, and we should be multipliers also like our Father. I'm not speaking as of one who is arrogant and knows it all. Absolutely not. Depression came knocking on my door. Fear comes knocking on my door. I have many reasons to be depressed, but I don't take any. It's very, very important to understand that. There is no room for depression in the body of church. And I know that some may actually get offended at this, you know, but you don't know what I've been through, Joe. You don't understand the circumstances that I'm in. I'm not being insensitive to that. I can retort and say, but you don't know what I've been through. And you don't know the circumstances that I've been in as well. And I've been invited to those meetings. I've been invited to those meetings where you know, people, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ, they congregate. And these meetings are set up to talk about all the things that you've gone through. You know? who's been through the most. And at the end of those meetings, you have a list of maybe who's been through the most and who's been through the least. And what you have at the end of it is absolutely no victory. Sympathy, no power. You know, I didn't go to those meetings. I saw those meetings, but I didn't go. Because I knew something more. I didn't know exactly, but once I started to get into this word, God started to reveal to me what I already had. It's very important. You know, I know you, Paul, and you, Helen, you could have many years ago looked back and looked upon, you know, David and what occurred there. And I know, I've been there, not to the degree that you have, but if you stay there, you wouldn't be where you are now. And it's because you chose to look at the things that are above and not at the things that are from below. You set your mind and your heart on the promises of God. And you know where David is. I know where Naomi is. Even Roy, you know, for John. Not to look, you know, that Roy passed away. Roy's alive. And he's in Christ. Man who's gone through so much in all his life. Gone through a river of dung and then met Jesus, the Prince, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Goes through him and comes out squeaky clean on the other side and is in the kingdom right now in Jesus' name. We do not look at the things that are of the earth. We look at the things that are seated in heavenly places because that's where we're seated. Verse 4, it says, sorry, once again, verse 3. You know, I just want to say, if you think you lack any of these things, you're just being deceived. Verse 3 says, for his divine power. And I'm going to repeat it again because God laid this in my heart. This needs to be said, especially now. Verse 3, for his divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary. Absolutely everything necessary. We lack nothing for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness through true and personal knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. It's because of what Jesus did on the cross. Yep. It's because of what he accomplished on the cross, that work of Calvary, that we have been given everything absolutely necessary. He has equipped us for a victorious and a powerful life. And verse 4, for by these he has, not he will, he has, it's past tense, he has bestowed on us his precious and magnificent promises of inexpressible value, so that by them you may escape from the immoral freedom that is in the world, to live in a way that is ungodly. He has equipped you to live in a way that is godly. And you become, not that you will become, but you become now sharers of the divine nature. Ah, man. I'd love to go to Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. We have everything in Christ Jesus. Everything. We lack nothing. Okay. Luke chapter 12 and verse 3, and it says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I mean, there's so much in this scripture. Do not fear, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Faith is the opposite to fear. Fear is the antagonist to faith. Fear leads to unbelief, and unbelief is sin. Have faith, little flock, is what he's really saying. Have faith, little flock. Do not open up the door to fear. Do not be deceived. Little flock, you have my garment of faith on you. I've clothed you with the essence of my very being. What you had in the past was Satan's garment on you. That's been removed. The light and the dark, they cannot coexist. I have not given you a spirit of fear. I have not cloaked you with fear like the evil one cloaked you on that day of transgression. But I've cloaked you with the essence of who I am, faith. Do not fear. And how does a faith come? By hearing and hearing the word of God. The more you're in this book, the more you exercise the faith that God has already provided for you. It is His faith deposited in you. And when you're in this word, the faith of God rises and rises up in you, and it permeates every part of your being and then pours out like a river, and it manifests and it permeates into your environment. It is the good, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let us take what the Father is willing to give us. It's just so simple. The gospel is so simple. Let us stop pretending to take it and let's just take it by faith. On earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Let's take it. Let's take it so what God has provided for us manifests on earth as it is in heaven. We are earthen vessels with supernatural power inside of us that wants to come out. It is so simple. But yet the evil one can be so deceptive and stir up fear, emotions, circumstances, especially at this point right now, to deceive you and make you think and believe that you don't possess everything that God's already bestowed upon you. You have it. We have it. You have it individually, and we have it collectively as a body. I know for me, and I'm not greedy, I know that I'm going to take every single thing that the Father has basically promised me in Christ Jesus. I'm going to take it all. Everything. Not because I'm greedy. I know because it's for the advancement of His kingdom. The kingdom that He says, you take. You take the kingdom, He says. Take it. I will, Father. I will take the kingdom. And I will take every single thing that you promised to give me and that you gave man actually before the fall and that you've provided again for us through the death and the burial and the resurrection of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are equipped. We are powerful. We are the church. We are victorious. We are already one. I will feast with my Father. I will feast with Him in the presence of my enemies. I already have that. I can already see that day coming, and what a glorious day it is. And it's going to be in the presence of my enemies. Look to things that are above and not to things that are of the earth and below. And depression will flee like that. It has to go. Why? Because it's truth. Truth always destroys reality. What you see is not the truth. What He says is the truth. It may not look like it. Doesn't matter what it looks like. The only thing that matters is what He says. And what He says, if taken inside and then spoken, will manifest on this earth. Don't be deceived, church. you have been given the full measure of faith. The same faith that Christ had, the same faith that rose God up from the grave, the same faith that rose God up, it rose God up. God had to die, and the faith that is in you rose him up. That dwells inside of us. And remember that it is not a maybe gospel. This is not a maybe gospel. This is not a wishing and a hoping gospel. It is an affirmation of a yes and an amen from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and it's stamped with his blood. 100%. Are you reconciled? Yes. Are you one? Yes. Are you qualified? Yes. Then you are part of the body, and you have been equipped, and you are armed to the teeth with every spiritual blessing and gift in Christ Jesus. And these are the things that you need to speak into the atmosphere. I speak these things into the atmosphere. I've been speaking these things into the atmosphere for quite some time now. And I want to let every single devil in hell know that I know the truth and that I am not afraid. You speak these things into the atmosphere. Faith speaks. The righteousness of faith speaks. It declares what God declares, unashamedly, boldly, because it's the truth. And it's the only thing that will set you free, and it'll keep you free. And I've spoken these things in the past. It's not because I'm trying to be mean. No. But you're not going to get pleasantries from me apart from truth. No, I will not do that. I will not. I cannot do that. It's what occurred to me, and God showed me how grieved he is when believers speak things that are not his word to try and appease man. No, I won't do that. If you get offended, I apologize, but I don't apologize. No, I'll just leave you with the Father. You can figure it out with him. Have no fear. Speak into the atmosphere. Speak, I am blessed. I am whole. I am gifted. I am a son. I am a daughter. I have power. I have faith. I have joy. You claim it. Claim what he has promised you. Claim the gifts that he has provided you with. If you don't take them, it grieves him. I've learned that. I thought it was humble to kind of like go, no, I won't ask. You know what I mean? I don't want to disturb him. It grieves him. Take it. You put a smile on his face. When I provide for my children and they don't take it, it grieves me. It's because they don't believe me. And that's grieving. So take it by faith. You know, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, they lack anything? No. 40 years they walked around. Their sandals didn't even wear out. You know, a rock opens, it's burst open, and water comes out. Quail falls. Manna falls. When Jesus sent out the 70, did they lack anything? No. I've come here today. I don't lack anything. He's fully equipped me. That's why I'm so confident in God. I have an audience of one. I have an audience of one. And I really mean that. Because if you're listening to this right now, when you're in Christ, we're one. So we're really an audience of one. Yep. They didn't lack anything. Neither do we. We lack nothing. We actually have more. We have more, and it's in Hebrews. We'll go to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. We have more. We have more in Christ Jesus. They were given, but we have more. But now, it says, but now, not tomorrow, but now, he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. We got more. Our shoes should never wear out. If he obtained a more excellent ministry, we obtained a more excellent ministry. If he's a mediator of a better covenant, then we have a better covenant. Yep. And if that covenant was established on better promises, we are the beneficiaries of the better promises. Let's stop pretending to be the church just by performing and thinking that we have to do things to earn these things. It doesn't work like that. You have to know you're the bride. It would be very weird if my wife was at home trying to be my wife, asking me for permission to use things in the home that she has every single right to use. It'd be weird if she asked me if it was okay for her to go use the car. No, she just goes and takes the car because she knows who she is. She is my wife. She is my bride. Everything that I have, or everything that she has, well, everything that I have is hers. And I guess everything that she has is also hers. Everything is also hers. Everything is my wife's. I'm surrounded by females. I own nothing. Everything belongs to them. She doesn't try and be my wife. She is. So let us not try and be the church. Let's just be the bride. Let's just take what our Father has given us through His Son and just take the gifts. And use the gifts, not to try and say, oh my goodness me, look at me and how impressed, you know, and look at what I can do. No, we're given these things for the edification of the church. We use these things to let the world know and that the spirit of error in the world is wrong. We let people know that there is another way so that lost sheep can be found. The only reason why we have the gifts. Gifts didn't pass away. I didn't find that in the scriptures. If he wrote to the Corinthian church about all the gifts, then he wrote to the Corinthian church, he's writing to us as well. We'll go to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. We have everything in Christ Jesus. We've got everything. You have everything in Christ Jesus. You lack nothing. Everything. If you have Jesus, you've got the full package. You lack nothing. You know, I rarely pray and ask. I don't actually ask God for any of the things that He already says that He has already given to me as a gift. I do not do that. I do not ask Him for peace. I do not ask Him for joy. I don't ask Him for more patience. I don't ask Him for more faith. He says that I have given you the full measure of all those things. I had a brother of mine call me up the other day and he goes, Joe, is there anything that I can pray for you about? And I said, look, don't want to sound arrogant, but I don't really need prayer. I'm content. I know who He is. And I know who I am, and I know what I've been given. So I said, I don't want to be arrogant, but I don't need prayer. I'm just thankful that I believe everything that He says. And I'm comfortable in that, you know? So Galatians chapter 5, verse 20, we'll just do verse 22 to 25. But the fruit of the Spirit... The fruit of the Spirit. Luke 11:33 says, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So if you've asked Him for the Holy Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit. Now that you have the Holy Spirit, this is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit that is already in you is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We already have it. Romans chapter 6 is dead to sin and alive unto God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All old things have passed away. Behold, you're brand new in Christ. And Galatians 2:20, and I'd like to go there. Just back a little bit. Galatians 2:20 says that I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in or of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He loves us. He gave himself for us. The entire essence of who Jesus is, if you have Jesus, you have everything that he had with the Father. We have already got it. We are individually with God, one with God. We are one collectively as a church with God. And we've been given everything for a victorious life, 100% every single day. He is the head and we are the church. We are the body. He is the cornerstone and we are the spiritual building. And in Colossians chapter 1, and verses 15 to 18. And I'll read through here, 15 to 18. It says that he is the exact living image, the essential manifestation of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible, the firstborn, the preeminent one, the sovereign and the originator of all creation. For by him, all things that were created in heaven and on earth, things visible and invisible. Even though they're invisible, we've been given spiritual eyes. We can see them. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created and exist through him, that is, by his activity and for him. And he himself existed and is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head, the life source, and leader of the body, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will occupy the first place. He will stand supreme and be preeminent in everything. He is the head, we are the body. And this scripture, I want to go through this scripture and let this permeate inside of us. We're one with him. And we've been given all things in Christ Jesus. So we'll go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Forward a bit. For in him all the fullness of deity, the Godhead, dwells in bodily form, completely expressing the divine essence of God. And in him, you have been made complete. Not that you will be made complete. It's a past tense. You have been made complete, achieving spiritual stature through Christ. And he is the head over all rule and authority, over every angelic and earthly power. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with him. We have peace with him. If we walk with him, you walk in the peace of God. If you don't walk with him, and you're not walking with him, and you're not reading his word, and you're not communing with him, and you're not worshiping him, and you're not singing to him, then fear is going to come knocking on you. Well, it's always knocking, but makes it a lot more easier to open up that door when you're not communing with your Father. when you're not communing with Jesus. Let the peace of Christ be the controlling factor in your heart, deciding and settling questions that arise, things that come up that try and throw you off. When you're in communion with Him, those situations, those circumstances, those words that come in your world, they will not unsettle you because you're settled in Him. You're stabilized in Him. Your word is, His word is settled in your heart because you've already established that it's already settled in heaven. To this peace, indeed, you were called as members in one body. Were called. It's already done. When we read the scriptures, we must read it, understanding even the words that are spoken. God made it very clear grammatically. He knows His grammar. It's always a past tense. Have been. Were called. All done. You were called as members in one body of believers. And He... And being thankful to God always. Verse 16, let the spoken word of Christ have its home within you, dwelling in your heart and your mind, permeating every aspect of your being as you teach spiritual things and admonish and train one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the dependence on Him, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We're one with Him. He's one with us. He just wants the church to believe it. And that's my heart cry even today, is that even though you're separated from other believers at this point in time, you're not separated from Him. And that we're not really separated even from each other. We're actually one in spirit. You're not alone. He won't leave you nor forsake you. He's with you. Doesn't matter what the circumstances look like, what the situation is. You may feel alone, but it's a feeling. Destroy it with the word of God. Declare it. Thank you. You won't leave me nor forsake me. Right now you may be feeling deceived, but speak that into your atmosphere. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You will never leave me nor forsake me. You will be with me till the end. And we'll go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 9. I'll just keep going. I'll go. Come to Him. Come to Him, the risen Lord, as to a living stone, which men rejected and threw away, but which is choice and precious in the sight of God. You, believers, little flock, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house for a holy and dedicated priesthood. Being built up, that means that you've already got it. But being built up means that there are still believers in this world. There are still those who are part of the little flock that have not been found yet. And that there are going to be many who are still going to be born who are part of the little flock. The full measure of saints has not been yet come completely in. Individually, you already have it all. He says you're being built up into a spiritual house for a holy and dedicated priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I'm going to read it all. Behold, I am laying in Zion a chosen stone, a precious, honored cornerstone, and he who believes in Him, whoever adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Him will never be disappointed in His expectation. This precious value then is for you who believe in Him as God's only Son, the source of salvation. But for those who disbelieve, the very stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they disobey the word of God. And to this, they who reject him as Savior were also appointed. But verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a special people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies, the wonderful deeds and virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. And I want to continue with more scripture in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. You've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 to 6, it says, and make every effort to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Each individual working together to make the whole successful. There is one body of believers. There is one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when called to salvation, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of us all, who is sovereign over all and working through all and living in all. I'm just going to let the word speak. I'll go just a bit forward. So Ephesians chapter 4 still in verses 15 to 16. But speaking the truth in love in all things, both our speech and our lives expressing his truth, let us grow up in all things into him. Let us grow up in all things. We already have it. We already have it. It's like a seed that's planted in the ground. It doesn't need anything else. It has all the genetic material inside of it to make whatever plant or tree it's going to become. The only difference between that seed and what it becomes is a process of multiplication. A sperm and an egg come together and they form a zygote. That fertilized egg has everything that it needs to become a human being. The only difference between me and a fertilized egg is time and a process of replication. Cells dividing, liver cells becoming a liver, kidney cells becoming a kidney. It's why when a baby is aborted, it's murder, because a fertilized egg has all the material inside of it, and it is a life. So let us grow up in all things. All things that is already put inside of us in Jesus, into him, following his example, who is the head, Christ. For him, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, joined and knitted firmly together by what every joint supplies, when each part is working properly, causes the body to grow and mature, building itself up in unselfish love. We've been given all things in Christ. Amen. I want to finish up with just reading 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 12. Amen. Yes, he's the head and we're the body. And we function together. So from verse 12, and it says, for just as the body is one and yet has many parts, and all the parts, though many, form only one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Holy Spirit we were all baptized into one body. We were spiritually transformed, united together, whether Jews, Greeks, Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all made to drink of one Holy Spirit. For the human body does not consist of one part, but of many, limbs and organs. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body. Is it not on the contrary still a part of the body? If the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body. Is it not on the contrary still a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But now, as things really are, God has placed and arranged parts in the body, each one of them just as he willed and saw fit, with the best balance and function. If they all were a single organ, where would the rest of the body be? But now, as things really are, there are many parts, different limbs and organs, but a single body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. But quite the contrary, the parts of the body which we consider less honorable, these we treat with greater honor, and our less presentable parts are treated with greater modesty. While our more presentable parts do not require it. It's very important to understand that I believe, you know, just like I was, you know, that I thought that I had nothing to give and nothing to offer. And I thought that I was maybe an insignificant part of the body. God says that is absolutely not true. God says that the things that maybe we look upon as the more honorable parts of the body, we think they are the more important parts of the body, but God actually says the things that are considered less honorable, he considers more honorable. I know that there are many believers, and not in our church, but from what I know and from what I hear, even in other churches, and from what I've been a part of, one, they tend to forget that maybe that they are a part of a body. But if they do come to that understanding, that they don't actually think that they are significant. When God says, you are absolutely necessary. Yeah. You're absolutely necessary. If you, and I'm not saying this religiously, and at the moment we can't do this, I understand, but my whole heart here is that you don't forget that you're a part of the body and that you think that you can commune with God on your own. That is, of course you do that, but it's very important to be a collective part of, you know, of a body that worships together in one harmony, one word to the Father. The Father says, do not neglect the gathering of the saints. Do not forsake. So my heart is that during this period that you think that you can just be okay on your own and not be a part of the body. One, because you're not going to be fed. Secondly, you've got actually attributes and gifts that you won't be able to share. And the body will not function properly because of that. So it's important to spend time with your Father and stick close to him and understand that you are an integral part of this body and that there's nothing dishonorable at all. You know, you may not consider yourself to be, you know, an important member of the body, but God says you are. So let that truth just settle in your heart. When I first came to this church, I was just feeling so unworthy. So much horrible stuff had happened. I was so blunt. I was so blunt. I was in intensive care. Yeah? So I drew near to God. He led me here. It was an act. It was a willful act. And in so doing, I sharpened myself against the sword. You understand that? Did you hear what I said? I said, I sharpened myself. God won't sharpen you unless you don't draw near to the sword. He says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. If you read the word and you fellowship with brothers and sisters that are not deceived, that they know their authority, that they know their identity, that they know what they have been given by their Father in heaven, you will become sharper, I guarantee you. So do not forsake the gathering of the saints when we start to commune again. One, you know that a sharp object needs to stay sharp because it needs to rub on something. So sometimes it actually needs to rub on something blunt. And something blunt needs something sharper to get sharper. So you need each other. We need one another. And Jesus is the glue. He's the one who said, I've given you everything to be victorious in this life. Stay in fellowship. Why? Because we stir one another up into love and into good works, into the good works that He has already laid out for us to do, with the understanding that He's equipped us with everything that we already need in order to do the good works. That's the whole point. To edify one another in the Spirit for the advancement of the kingdom. You're very desired by God. You're not unworthy. You're worthy. He made you worthy. Just believe it. And you're a part of the body. And I know there's probably some listening at the moment who don't feel that. It's a feeling. Go through the scriptures that I've gone through today and read them. Meditate on them. Become sharper. Don't be deceived. Don't let the evil one deceive you. You're part of the flock. You're part of the little flock, as he says. You hear his voice. Do not lend your ear to the evil one. He's beating his drums loudly. Block it by speaking into the atmosphere. God's word, God's declaration about who you are in Christ Jesus, the great and precious, exceedingly great, precious promises that he says are of inexpressible value, that he declares about you. He sent his son on a cross for you to receive every single thing that he wanted you to receive from the beginning, but it was stolen and he provided again for you through the cross. Take it. Take it by faith. Do not be deceived. Verse 24, I'll keep reading. While our more presentable parts do not require it, but God has combined the whole body, giving greater honor to that part which lacks it, so that there would be no division or discord in the body, that is, lack of adaptation of the other parts to each other, but that the parts may have the same concern for one another. And if one member suffers, all the parts share the suffering. And if one member is honored, all rejoice with it. We are one. Verse 27, now you, collectively, little flock, are Christ's body. And individually, you are members of it, each with his own special purpose and function. We each have been given a special purpose and a special function. And you're part of this body, the body of Christ, and he's the head. And we've been given everything in this life to be victorious. We are the church. If he's for us, who can be against us? And he says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. So who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the lies, the deceptive lies of the evil one? Or are you going to lend your ear to the only true voice that will only ever speak truth? And that is, I love you. And that the manifestation of my love is on the cross, my son. I don't just say it, I did it. Look at the cross. I did it. Believe. Believe that you're reconciled. Believe that you're qualified. Believe that you're equipped. And be the bride. In Jesus' name. Amen.